Welcome to episode 24 of the Rescue Summer Mindset Podcast. On day one, about 26 of us dressed in chops waiting outside the schoolhouse for the instructors. I was pretty nervous, but I knew the day would be pretty easy. With only a PT test to knock out, the instructors came out and greeted us in a relaxed boot camp instructor feel. Thus, the psychological games began. Shortly after the initial meeting, we shuffled into the schoolhouse to fill out some paperwork right after we changed to our PT gear and started the PT test. As you probably know by now, the PT test is rather easy for such a notoriously difficult school. However, this test had been known to give students problems, either due to nerves or poor form during the exercises. Be careful not to fall into the traps, because a failed PT test counts as a no-go, and it'd be silly to waste one of these on something you have the capability to crush. My class had a few students fail. And from what I remember, everyone was able to eventually pass, even though it took a couple people 2 to 3 attempts. To be safe, you should be at least getting 10 reps over the required push-ups, 10 over the required sit-ups, and at least 2 to 3 over the required pull-ups and chin-ups. Day 2 is where the real training started. I went through school in the summer, so we were up and heading to the PT grinder by 6:30. The first day, we worked out on the PT grinder for a couple hours, doing nothing more than basic bodyweight exercises, followed by an intense set of sprints. While I remember being exhausted after the grinder, I was amped to head to the pool. We were instructed to grab some water and head to the pool. We switched into our swim gear in the locker room and waited to be called out into the pool deck. Once again, the first day of real pool work is usually relatively easy. We did a few more sets of push-ups and flutter kicks on the side of the pool, and before I knew it, I was starting with a 200-yard half-and-half swim. It wasn't until I popped at the end of the 200 yards that I noticed a few people were on the pool deck talking to the instructors. They quit. That fast. A 200-yard underwater lap is an easy warm-up by the time you're at this point, and it may already be for you. But these students, despite their ability, couldn't make it through the first pool exercise. Part of me sympathizes with these students, because I remember the feeling during these first laps in the pool. My adrenaline was so high, swimming 12 meters underwater felt really challenging. I quickly noticed my heart rate was extremely high, and I chalked this up to it being the first day and all. Unfortunately, those who quit weren't able to compartmentalize quick enough. The first days of swimmer school are not that physically challenging. You need to remember to relax through the first week and take each exercise one at a time. The best way to override the nerves is to treat the week like a game or a challenge designed to uncover your hidden power of resilience and grit. Two traits that I cover more in depth in the Rescue Swimmer Mindset. So if you didn't figure it out by now, that was the first day, or the first true day of Rescue Swimmer A School. And this write-up is in a program that I released last summer called the Rescue Swimmer Immersion Program, where basically I wrote a 4-week set of workouts with a bunch of write-ups designed to kind of simulate the rigors of Rescue Swimmer School. And I was just kind of going through my old files on my computer, and I was looking at the immersion program, and it kind of reminded me of how I was feeling when I was preparing for A School and while I was at A School for that first week. So back when I went through training, we had an airman program, which was just a pre-selection for AST A School. So I've talked about it before, but I'll just brush you up on it in case you don't remember. We would go through boot camp. This was in 2011 when I went through this. So I graduated boot camp in the summer. I went to my first unit as a non-rate in Florida, in the Florida Keys. And then I had to get qualified at the unit, get boat crew qualified, or watch standard qualified and boat crew qualified. And then I could put my name on the A school list. And then after about 6 to 12 months, you would get orders to an air station. Usually it was the air station closest to your unit. So for me, that was Air Station Miami. And at that time, when you got your orders, you'd have like a week to kind of pack up and head to the unit. And usually you'd spend anywhere from 3 to 6 months at your airman program. And you worked through a syllabus that was a bunch of workouts and different kind of maintenance. You'd go through like different maintenance lessons in the shop just to kind of learn a little bit about the job in case you somehow managed to get through school. So After about, I think it was at my unit for 12 months, I got orders to Miami, went to my airman program, and got to the airman program, and I was with another airman who was a little older than me. At the time, I was 20, and the airman that I was with was, I want to say 28, maybe. He might have been 27, 28. So at the time, that seemed like, he seemed way older than me, like a complete adult. I felt like I was still just like, just got out of high school, you know, and I was just getting used to being an adult, being in the military, being away from home for a long period of time. And he was already, you know, 28. So he'd been kind of living on his own for about a decade and was kind of used to it. So I kind of looked to him for advice, and I would follow his workouts. He was in much better shape than me. So it was a good kind of a good mentor to have, even though we were both equals training for the same job. It was nice to have someone older than me that could kind of help me out in certain situations and in fitness too, because he was very physically fit, great, a gifted athlete. So we went through training for a few months together, and one day we went to work. We had this little airman at the air station. We had this little office, and there was someone called an airman coordinator. And if you're familiar with the Coast Guard aviation rates, the person in charge of the airman program at the time was an AMT first class, AMT-1. So he had a little desk in there, or he had a desk, and then we had a little two more computers and then some workspace, so we could go in there and take breaks in there and do syllabus work in there, do studying in there, and kind of just anytime we had some downtime, we can go in there and just kind of hang out. So we would always report there in the mornings, and a lot of time we do like probably two or three times a week, we do like a uniform inspection where the airman coordinator would check our uniform, make sure it was good. And he would be pretty thorough. The airman programs back then used to kind of vary in how strict they were, but Miami was kind of known for having a pretty strict airman program. So they kept their airmen on their toes, really. So we would go in, have uniform inspections. We would have room inspections on just kind of out of the blue. There'd be room inspections at any point during the workday. Sometimes we do PT tests randomly. We'd go to the pool, and the swimmers would work with us and make us do PT tests and then work out with us for a long time and just kind of like put us in the ringer. So we get one morning, this is just like it had to have been in the winter of 2000. So it was probably January, February in 2013. We walk into the airman room, and the airman coordinator told us that he had orders to ASTA school, but he only had one set of orders. So basically, they sent the orders to Miami and said they have room for one more swimmer in the next class. And the class started in, I think it started in, maybe it was February, like mid-February or like early March. So at that point, he said it was up to us to kind of decide who wanted to go, who felt ready, and who thought they had the best shot at that moment. So this was, at this point, we had both been in the airman program for about 3.5 months, coming up on 4. So we were both in pretty good physical shape, and we kind of had a good idea as to what the school would be like, because we kind of have been working out with the swimmers, and they had been working us doing pretty hard workouts, and we thought we were both pretty much good to go. So he was older. I kind of thought of him as a mentor. So we came up, basically he ended up going. And I kind of was excited that he was going first, because I'd have someone who I knew at this school in a class that was going to go a couple classes before me, and I could kind of talk to him as he progressed through school and get advice and see how it was going and see if our training in Miami was good enough, or if I need to work a little harder or do certain drills more. So maybe like a week later, he's packed up, leaves, starts his A school. So Monday goes by, I don't hear from him. Tuesday goes by, don't hear from him. And then Wednesday morning, maybe it was Thursday morning, I walk into work, and it's just me at this point. It's just me and the airman coordinator. So I walk in, say good morning to him, and kind of just like start talking. And then I go about my day. I think I went over to the swimmer shop and I did some work with them. And then I might have even done a little PT workout with the swimmers And I get back into the airman shop probably around, maybe it was like right after lunchtime. And the airman coordinator told me that the airman that was in ASTA school had dropped out. He quit. And this was so shocking to me. Like, I had no idea this was going to happen. And when he left, I thought he was totally confident. I thought he was going to crush A school because he was leaps and bounds ahead of me physically. And he was mentally pretty strong, a smart guy. So I thought he was pretty much for sure going to get through school, let alone, I mean, for sure get through the first week. So another few days go by, and eventually, it was Friday afternoon. I worked out with the swimmers. We went to a little PT workout, and then I got off early that day. I went back to my barracks room, and I got my golf clubs and went golfing in the afternoon. A lot of times after the end of the week in Miami, I found this golf course like 10 minutes from my barracks room that had pretty cheap rates for military. So I just like go and wind on like Friday afternoon, just come up by myself, and I go golf around like 9 holes, just walk. And so I'm doing that. I'm probably like 4 or 5 holes in, and he calls me, and I told him I was golfing and I wanted to hear about his whole situation. So I had him just call me back when I finished the round. So at the end of the round, we started talking, and basically he started telling me, he seemed confused. Like, he seemed like he thought he was going to make it through, but he just quit. Like, he sounded really like unmotivated, and it was a total 180 from what he was 2 weeks before when he left for A school. And I never really found out why he quit or really anything past that. He's a great guy, and I talked to him since then, but I never really figured out his true reason behind quitting. But that really stuck with me. So I trained for another couple months before heading off to A school, and I always had that in the back of my head. Like, I had known one guy before me who was way more physically fit and seemed way more capable than me of getting through school, but he quit in the third day. So I really like spent those last 2 months training really hard, but I didn't think I really had a shot. And I didn't act like that, like around the shop. Like, I still trained hard and had like a great attitude and gave it everything 100%. But in the back of my head, I was like, I have no chance of getting through the first week of school if this guy couldn't have gotten through. So that was always kind of just in the back of my head, working through all that stuff. And I get to A school, and you know, I just read that first day or two little piece there at the beginning of the podcast. I was incredibly nervous when I first got into the pool, and my heart rate was super high. We did those half and halves. You know, I finished a 200 meter half and half, and I got up, looked to my right, and I see a guy like walking out. Basically, he had just quit. And I finally got it. I realized why he quit. He let his emotions kind of get the best of him in that moment. And even though he's a stud athlete, in that moment, he couldn't really keep it together. And that's all it took. So really the whole point of that story was to make you realize that, and I'm sure you already know this, it's all mental, especially those first few days, or any day that is just those days where you get to turn your brain off and just work out. When you get to the PT grinder, you're doing a bunch of push-ups, you're doing whatever weightlifting circuit they decide you to do that day. Maybe you're doing Versa climbers and sprints and a bunch of squats. Then you head to the pool and you're doing underwater laps, you're doing lap tracers, you're doing buddy bricks, you're treading with the brick, you're doing buddy toes, underwater laps, sprint down, underwater back. All that stuff takes zero brain function for the most part. It's all physical. So you can turn your brain off and you just get it done. And that's hard to do for the first couple days, and that's why you get those like initial quitters. But you just need to realize that those first days are going to suck. They suck for everyone. Your heart rate's not going to be able to adjust to how you want it to be, basically how it was during training, until you get through those first few days, maybe even the first week. And after that, you kind of get into this rhythm and you kind of find a nice state, like flow state, and you can just knock those workouts out like nothing. So if you get to ACA school or you're getting to like buds in your PJ selection and your first few days, maybe the first, second day, you're like doing your true first day of actual like hard PT, or you're getting in the pool and you're freaking out and you're like, oh, like there's no way I can get through 6 months of this. I'm going to have to quit now. Just turn your brain off and do what the instructors tell you to do. Make it to the next drill and you'll be fine. You'll get through it. Don't quit and you'll be fine. You'll get through it. All right. I'm going to move on to some questions, I guess. I got a couple questions on Instagram. One came in, looks like this morning, so I figured I'd answer it as quick as possible. Hey, I was wondering if you get any questions regarding training with weight vests. So, I get weight vest questions every once in a while. I've never really been a huge fan of weight vests, and this is going to vary, I guess, depending on what you're training for, but I'm just going to answer this assuming that you're training for swimmer school. So, we don't do, a lot of other services do like rucking, and they have to be used to carrying a lot of gear in their backs when they're in the field or doing whatever mission they're doing. We don't really have to do that a lot. So typically, if you're on a search and rescue case, you're jumping in the water, you're swimming to a boat, you're swimming to get people in the water, you don't need a weight vest. There's no point in training with extra weight. So I would say it doesn't have to be a huge emphasis in your training. I didn't have one when I was training for a swimmer school. I don't use them now, but I do see a big benefit if you're trying to build strength, you know, for push-ups, core exercises, pull-ups, you could use one. I wouldn't recommend using, if you're training to be a swimmer, I wouldn't say you should go out and run in a weight vest. It's kind of pointless. And you're probably just increasing the likelihood of injury. If you're training for, you know, buds or PJ selection, then the answer is going to be different, but I'm not going to answer it because I don't have experience training for those schools. When it comes to those kind of schools, I tend to keep it with, you know, PT, and then I can really emphasize and improve students' water confidence because that's where I specialize. So I'll answer questions that are related to water confidence for those schools, but I won't answer questions related to carrying heavy gear, you know, just because I didn't do that while I was training. So the next question came a few hours ago, and it was just someone looking to basically improve their push-ups. So if you listen to me before or you have purchased any of my training programs, you know a great way to improve push-ups is doing a PT, like push-up sit-up, push-up pull-up pyramid. So a push-up pull-up pyramid would be like doing 2 push-ups, 1 pull-up, 4 push-ups, 2 pull-ups, and you kind of continue on increasing the count proportionally, and then you get to some plateau. Maybe you do 10, you know, you get up to like 25 push-ups and whatever, 7 pull-ups, and then you go right back down that ladder. And that's kind of a push-up pull-up pyramid. You can do it with push-ups and sit-ups, push-up flutter kicks, whatever you're trying to train for that day. And overall, just when it comes to improving push-ups, the kind of stereotypical and like go-to thing would be do more push-ups. And that's pretty much true. You should, if you want to get better at push-ups, you should do a lot more push-ups. So you're doing those PT push-up pull-up pyramids. You can do days where you just want to do a high volume of push-ups. So maybe one Tuesday you decide, hey, today I'm going to do 300 push-ups. So you split 300 push-ups in throughout the day. Maybe another workout you do, you know, you have a circuit where you're doing 20 push-ups, 20 flutter kicks, 5 pull-ups, and you're resting a minute and you're repeating that 5 to 7 times. And you're just trying to get a high volume of push-ups in a given workout, given circuit workout, or given day. If you're struggling, maybe if you like have been doing workouts like that and you're starting to plateau and you can't get that number up, what I recommend a lot of times is do a little bit of strength training. And strength training in the form of, you can do bench press, although I don't really do a lot of bench press. I don't do any of that right now because I don't have a gym because the virus. But recently I was doing a lot of free weight exercises. So I would do dumbbell, chest press. I would do incline, decline chest press. And then I'd do some shoulder work with dumbbells and kettlebells. And I found that adding a little bit of strength work throughout the week, I was doing about 2 to 3 kind of weight training sessions throughout the week in my given training block, and I was seeing pretty significant improvements in my push-up and pull-ups throughout that training block. And my PT numbers now are better than they were when I was training to be a swimmer and when I was a swimmer, just because I've added some more strength training and I've kind of refined my training block to kind of optimize my PT numbers. So just keep that in mind. Just add a little strength training if you're kind of plateauing. All right, that's all I got for questions this week. I'm kind of curious to know how you are all doing on the COVID at-home regimen. So we are now in week 3, and later tonight or tomorrow morning, the week 4 set of workouts is gonna come out for that month of training. And that was going to be the last set of workouts I was gonna post because, 3 weeks ago when I decided to make this program, I figured the virus, would kind of be like winding down and gyms start opening up. But it's pretty clear that that's not happening, so I'm going to keep those workouts going. So if you're signed up for the at-home regimen, it's going to go way past 4 weeks. I'll probably just keep it up until things get back to normal. So go log in and do your workouts. If you have been, maybe you just like kind of forgot about it after you signed up, go start from week 1, work through the workouts, and keep yourself in shape so when the gyms start opening up again, you're going to be ready to get in there and really optimize your training so you're not kind of wasting the entire spring when you could be kind of putting in work and staying at least maintaining whatever shape you were in before. If you weren't maintaining any shape or hitting the gym at all, this is going to get you in good shape for the summer to a point where you can start adding on to that fitness when everything opens up again. So I was scrolling through Facebook earlier today, and I'm just going to pull it up. I saw this post and I thought it was kind of interesting about, well, let me just read the post to you and then we'll talk about it. So here's the post. It's like a little, like a little text picture format. So here it is. If you don't come out of this quarantine with a new skill, your side hustle started, more knowledge, you never lack time, you lack discipline. And then the you never lack time, you lack discipline bar is kind of crossed out and it says, you're doing just fine. We're going through a collective traumatic experience. Not everyone has the privilege of turning a pandemic into something fun or productive. Stay healthy. So I've seen a bunch of these and they're not all like this. Some are just like saying other things. But basically the overall message that people are trying to say with that is, if you're stuck at home and you're not being productive, you're not trying to better yourself, learn a skill, or do something that doesn't involve just kind of doing nothing and worrying about what's going on in the world, then, well, then you're fine. Like, that's okay. When I don't think that's okay. Like, if you're stuck at home and you're watching freaking Netflix all day, or you're just doing nothing, you're not learning anything, you're doing yourself a disservice. You're doing your family a disservice. You're doing everyone a disservice. The world is not a better place for you just sitting in your house doing nothing. You should be learning a new skill, increasing your fitness, so when this thing's over, you can be productive and become or get the job you want to get. You can become a rescue swimmer, become a SEAL, become a PJ, and become a productive member of society. If you're sitting in your house just kind of worrying about the virus and doing nothing, watching TV, that's not good. Don't do that. You can do that to some extent. Like everyone's going to kind of think about the virus. Wake up in the morning, check the news, see what's going on, see what's changed. Go do a workout, get some work done, learn a skill, come back in the afternoon, take a break, watch some Netflix, eat dinner, and then try to work on whatever you're working on. Maybe it's completely unrelated to fitness or joining the military. Maybe it's just like a skill you've been wanting to learn for years. Just do it. You have tons of free time, most likely. And provided you're not, you know, provided you're not completely busy throughout the day helping your family. Maybe if your family's sick, obviously that is an excuse. Like, you should be helping your family. But if you're like most of the people listening to this, you probably have a ton of free time and not a lot of real trauma going on in your life. It's mostly just perceived trauma. So just learn something new, stay fit, and be productive. So I think that's all I have for my rant today. On an unrelated note, our newest instructor, Instructor Vince, is working on a new course called How to Hold Your Breath Like a Helicopter Rescue Summer School. And it's really cool. So we went out and did some filming this morning, early morning. So we got up at like 5 in the morning, so early, you know. Got up at 5, I got some coffee, and we basically drove to a local track and did some filming for the course. And while I was sitting there, I was behind the camera, kind of doing a little bit of the work. I was reading through his lessons plan for the course, and I was kind of blown away. There's a bunch of really cool lessons in there that I never thought about. So if you didn't know, he was also a helicopter rescue swimmer. We met in Detroit at our air station. He was 2 classes behind me. So he got to the unit, maybe it was like 4 or 5 months after I'd been there, maybe like 6 months. And we became friends, and he's now moved out to Boulder with me, and we're working on, you know, building the rescue swimmer mindset. But while he had since gotten out of the Coast Guard, just like me, and he spent a little bit of time kind of honing his freediving abilities. He was always a great swimmer. He was a good swimmer in his swimmer class. And when he got out, he went over to, I think he went to like Thailand and somewhere out there. And he took a few freediving courses and learned a ton. And he came back and he was this excellent freediver. He can hold his breath for like up to 4 minutes. He can dive really deep. And, you know, while I was training for swimmer school, I didn't think about how freediving could kind of, I did some freediving, but I never like thought about using freediving tactics to increase my water confidence. And the course he's putting together is basically combining freediving with water confidence with the intention of training for elite military training schools. And it's really cool because it's all science based, and the lessons that he's teaching and kind of the techniques and tricks that he uses they increase your ability to hold your breath for a long period of time. So if your water confidence is a little weak, or if you have great water confidence and want to make it so good that, you know, underwaters are just going to seem like a breeze in swimmer school or buds, you know, check out the course. It's on sale right now. So it's on a pre-sale right now because we're still working on it. So if you buy it now before we release the course, it's way cheaper. I'll leave a link in the show notes. And if you go to our website, rsmguy.com, go to products, you'll see it there too. So I recommend you go, at least just go to the training page or the products page on the website, or click the link below here and just read through what the course is going to be about. I'm really excited to release it, or I guess we are. I'm still getting used to kind of saying we instead of just me, since it's just a new thing. He's just joined the team. So we're really excited to release this program, and I think it's kind of cool. It's going to be kind of a new kind of paradigm shift into training for these kind of schools. It's adding more science. It's adding more kind of more outside influence that I'm not sure has been utilized to its fullest extent. So I think you're getting a really cool and unique approach to training your water confidence with this course. And when you get the course, when you pre-order it, you also get the course I'm working on, which is how to make your own training program. And you get this program absolutely free. So right now you can buy either program at rsmguy.com and you'll get the other one for free. So you're basically getting one free. So you could also look at it as like half off. So my program is going to basically, the first course is going to be released on Wednesday. And what I'm going to do is essentially walk you through how I write training programs. And what I want you to be able to do is know the building blocks to making your own training program so you can piece together exactly what you need in yours. So a lot of times if you buy a training program that I used to offer, and I don't offer these anymore because I think this way is going to be a little smarter way of doing it. So no two people are alike, you know. So maybe I'm training Gary and Chris. So Gary is really good at all his PT, but he sucks at running. And Chris is really bad at push-ups and sit-ups, but he's good at everything else. So if I give both those students, Gary and Chris, the same workout program, the training isn't optimized to really maximize both of their fitness potentials. What they really need is to know the building blocks of how to make a program. They need to know what kind of workouts they need to put in the workout, the programs in the each individual weeks. They need to know when they need to rest. They need to know what exercises will help with which deficiencies. And if they know all that, they can write their own training program and piece it together to kind of optimize their fitness potential. So the course I'm making is going to do just that. And it's going to be a pretty long course. Then I'm going to release it in kind of blocks or stages. So the first one's going to come out on Wednesday, and it's going to cover kind of the more, it's going to kind of start off with the scientific background and what kind of about your body and why your body responds to certain types of trainings. So if you're interested in that, you know, I'm going to leave a link in the show notes as well. You can go to rsmguide.com. And like I said, that program's going to be basically free if you buy Vince's program, or if you buy this program, you're going to get Vince's program for free. So go check it out and take the time to go through these courses while you have a ton of free time and learn these skills. So when these pools open up, you know, and the gyms open up, maybe in the summertime, you'll be ready to go. You'll have all the skills you need, and you'll even have a program kind of written out exactly the way you need it to be. Another thing I forgot to mention about my program, if you buy it, once you work through the entire program, you're going to have the chance to write your own workout program. And what you can do is you're going to write it after you learn all the skills of how to write a program. You send it to me. I'm going to read through it. I'm going to make edits. I'll send it back to you, and you can look at it, revise it, and then send it back to me. And we'll repeat that process until we both kind of agree that it's optimized for exactly what you want. So if that's something you're interested in, just go do it. You're going to learn a great skill, and you're going to kind of put that free time to use. All right, that's all I have for this week. I will talk to you all next week. Stay healthy.